We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, baby. Back to the Winner's Lounge. Back where I'm most comfortable in life. In the Winner's Lounge. What is up, everybody? Welcome into the DMVR Nuggets podcast. Orange, real, and fake is the almost said Denver Nuggets as Team Serbia gets the win over Israel. And what was actually a very entertaining game. And no shortage of storylines. This was a very content-rich game. Mm-hmm. Lots of content. I have so many notes here. And to help me break it all down, I have got the Tool Man himself. What was Tim the Tool Man Taylor's sidekick? What was his name?
You always ask me. I always forget, man. I forgot.
I'm going to think of it. Al Borland. Al Borland right. Here at the house with me, a.k.a. Brennan Vogt.
What's up, Brennan? The Brawny Man. Is that the paper towel guy? Brawny? Brown?
Oh, you actually do look like Brawny, yeah. The paper towel guy. Yeah, you do. Did you just watch Team Serbia?
I did. It was sick. It was sick. We had to sweat just a tiny bit today, but it was actually kind of fun to watch the team under a little pressure, man.
It was fun to watch him. A little bit later, Harrison Wind will be joining the show. Undisclosed location. Taking his time getting here. I see him backstage. That's why I'm talking shit about him. Taking his time that getting to the arena. He'll be here any minute, though, guys, on his own time. There he is. Oh, you put him on before he was even ready, Kale?
Kale.
Let's all watch Harrison get ready.
Yeah. Luckily, he wasn't putting a shirt on.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Where are you at now? This is an especially undisclosed location.
It's even more disclosed than the last location.
It's even more.
I got too many paparazzi out here, man. I gotta keep it locked in, you know.
The Serbia just gets a win and improves to 4-0 in pool play. And this one had moments of dominance, but it also had some moments of concern, including Team Serbia dropping like flies right now, Oof. Left and right. Everybody on the team. And it made for some crazy storylines. Should we start off the show, you guys, with a fast recap?
Bang, bang, bang.
Nothing I love more than a fast recap.
That's right.
Let's recap the game for those that didn't watch. And by the way, every single day we start tweeting about this, and every single day somebody says, where are you watching? Guys, ESPN Plus is covering all of the games in HD, and it's $10 a month. You could sign up for 1 month. It's $10. You get to watch King Yoke and the rest of Team Serbia in HD every single game. It's actually really dope. You can also watch all these other games. So if you're on the fence or want to follow along, I'm telling you, 10 out of 10 fun right now. I'm having as much fun watching this as I do watching the Nuggets in the regular season. So just get it. The games are really, really fun. You're not going to miss out. $10. All right, let's get into it. No Marinkovic again in this game. So you also have Milutinov, who's injured. You had no Marinkovic, and then we're going to get into some of the injuries that happened later, but you're already starting a little bit shorthanded. Jokic opens up the game with a three. I say, and I'm telling you, I really mean this. When Jokic opens the game with a made three, he's going to shoot 100%. He makes the first three. Okay, he's probably not missing for the next 10 minutes or so. And that's exactly what happened. I do have a note in here, though, that he's still not rebounding great. I know that sounds ridiculous because he had 11 rebounds and now three straight double-doubles. But there's a lot of – like, you can't judge Jokic on his numbers. You can judge him on what his numbers should be. And he there was three, four, five – rebounds in the first half alone where I'm like,
I agree.
He usually grabs those, and that's part of what makes him so great. So a bit of a second or third gear performance from Jokic tonight, despite the fact that his numbers look like prime Wilt Chamberlain. He did have two fouls early, and that's actually a storyline that circled back around later. I didn't think, and this is what's funny, I'm sitting here watching it here at DNVR HQ with a bunch of the fellas, and I'm watching the first few minutes, and I'm like, Yoke's not fully locked in right now. He's kind of second gear, maybe third. And you look up at the stat line, 14 points, like 5 rebounds, 2 assists. So I can't wait to see Jokic at 100% because he is – to me, am I wrong on this vote? Did it seem like he was in second gear for part of the game, third gear for the other part?
No, I agree. They went to him more, so the box score is inflated, but I don't think he actually kicked it up a gear. I still think it all looks a little easy for him right now. And I do wonder if on some of those rebounds you'd like to see him get, he's thinking, all right, well, I'll do that in the quarterfinals. We're good. You know?
Right. First of all, there's been a few moments, including in this game, where it's like, hey, all right, it's time to step up because now you need to kick it into gear for a short stint. And every time him and Micić both have, but we'll get to that here in a second.
Yeah.
Lucic went back to the locker room early and ended up coming back, but it did, I think, you know, it gave a little bit of concern and maybe more concern when he got hurt again in the second half. And then Jokic put up, as I mentioned, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist in his first 10 minutes. Completely dominant. Second unit in all of these games so far, the second unit has checked in and picked the defensive intensity up. That didn't happen in this game. The second unit actually kind of got worked in the opening part of the quarter, so much that Israel actually took a lead. And I was kind of surprised by that. What did you make of the opening of the second quarter, Harrison, when Israel stormed from, I think, 10 or 12 back to take a 1-point lead?
Well, I just thought Serbia got away from its identity. This whole tournament so far, they've just been making the extra pass. They've been playing so selfless. They've been having five guys touch it on a lot of possessions. I felt like they got away from that in the second quarter. That's what allowed Israel to get back into it. They just kind of lost their soul for a little bit, especially when Jokic went out there.
Yeah, I agree. This was a game, and maybe part of this was the weird rotation because, again, we're going to get to it at the end, but they closed with a lineup that I doubt had played together.
Right.
Lucic had some good stuff in this game. I've been talking about how he hasn't been totally impressive over the last few games on offense, although I think defensively he has been. He had a couple nice like one-on-one moves in this game, including a nice shimmy shake turnaround that I was very impressed with. And then Micić, I don't know if this is who he is, if this is who he's going to be. He has had buckets at all the important moments of this tournament so far, and the second quarter was no different. He hit a big three that was sort of like they cut it really close, need a big play, and he made one, as well as obviously Jokic making a ton. Jokic checked back in with 6 minutes to go. I love this about Coach Pešić. He's been weird on some of the rotations and stuff. This game called for like, hey, we got to buckle down and stop this run. Jokic comes back early, and what do you know? It was the right move. He finishes the first half with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block, and Serbia took a 12-point lead. Most of his damage was done by halftime.
Yeah. Most,
that stat line at half is ridiculous. Oh, by the way, I think
no turnovers at that point, too.
Yeah, perfect from the field. In the second half, I thought Israel made some good adjustments. They started putting Jokic in pick and pops a lot early on, just making him guard out on the perimeter. I thought he did a fine job. His positional defense, especially down the stretch, was good. But nonetheless, it does. If you make your threes and you put a big in pick and pop like that, it's tough to cover. And sure enough, through three quarters, I don't know what they finished off the look, but through three quarters, Israel was shooting like 50% from three. So it was, you know, you make a big gamble and it was paying off. They were also zoning up more against Jokic in the post. And I thought – I actually had a note in here that said Serbia was getting a little stagnant on these post-ups to Jok. Coach Pešić calls a timeout or there was some time to stop in the action. Coming out of it, immediate couple cuts. Like they go to the post-entry and they get that movement. So it was a great recognition, in my opinion, of that. And immediately go to it. And what do you know? Serbia once again goes on a big run. Let's see. Lucic then gets hurt again in the third period, and this one's concerning. He gets hurt, and Nedovic gets hurt. So all of a sudden, you're missing key rotation guys, four players down the stretch of this game that you don't have at your disposal for various reasons. And I thought it really showed. Israel kept it within 12. It's 65-58, I think, going into the fourth quarter. And then you have to go to a fourth quarter rotation that's missing four key players. What do you know? Jokic starts the fourth. I think he played the entirety of it. And it was a group that was unfamiliar. Jokic was getting frustrated. I saw some frustration. You know, when Jokic had, you know, Torrey Craig or with Michael Porter, there's times where he gets like, you could tell he doesn't like a possession. And he, rather than say something, he almost pouts or like gets passive aggressive on the court. I saw that today from him on a few possessions. Now, I also saw him during timeouts try to coach. But like on the court, there's times when it's a possession when he just gets so mad. He's like, fine, do that dumb thing over there. And that's part of what happened in the fourth quarter. Israel cut it all the way to two. I thought Micić was bothered by the ball pressure in this game. You start putting that little guy. Was his name Madar? Yam Madar?
That's Israel legend, Yam Madar.
Yeah, Yam Madar. He was good, man. I was impressed with him. But what was most impressive was he really applied full court pressure on Micić. And I thought Micić struggled with it in that fourth quarter. They actually did the best job, again, another timeout, when they started going and getting the ball out of his hands earlier. And then, or getting the switch where he had to guard Jokic in the post on the switch. Once they did that, it was like a 17-0 run or something in the fourth. I don't remember what the exact number was, but Serbia went on a big run. But it's at least a note to me that Micić struggled a little bit with that full court pressure. And if I'm a team that's going up against Serbia in the elimination round, that's going to be a big part of my game plan, is full apply pressure to him and try to get the ball out of his hands. Nonetheless, Serbia gets the win. It got close for a while. They got tested. But at the end of the day, I feel like this was still a bit of light work. They get the win. 89-78, move to 4-0. Harrison, what did I miss?
The Serbia's role players, I lauded them after that last game versus Finland. I came on this pod and I was like, I think Serbia is going to get to the gold medal game because of Jokic and Micić. I think they might win it because their role players are that good. They didn't shine as much as they did today. Yeah. I wonder how much fatigue played a factor in that. Because
a lot
of these guys, a lot of these role players, they're over 30 years old. You know, Kalinic, Micić is 28, Lucic, Nedovic, a lot of these guys, they're not as young as you think they might be. They're veterans. So this is Serbia's fourth game in 5 days, right, which is ridiculous. They have an off day before. Yeah, they have an off day before they play Poland in 2 days. I wonder if it just they weren't just quite as spry as they've been for those first three games.
And a short rotation. I think you're absolutely right. I think that is true. And it is also true in the same breath to say, like, I thought you were right earlier. They didn't play the right way today. There's a Serbian way. We know what that is. That's not what they were bringing. But it does seem like Kalinic and Lucic are grinding. And in one of those two is in virtually every lineup on the floor at any point. So,
yeah,
that's a good point.
What you said about them bothering Micić is definitely a storyline, though, because they've got Yaramaz behind them.
Right.
I feel like when push comes to shove, Coach Pesic is going to trust Nemanja Nedovic more maybe than Yaramaz, just because he's the veteran. He's been there before. So he has quickly become, I think, like a key player to focus on for Serbia.
Big fourth quarter minutes today from Yaramaz. He was essential.
Yeah, he was good today. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some big shots too. I think two of them, two big boy shots that made this game. Again, I think Serbia would have won without those. But it would have been a game that went down to the wire. Instead, right, it kind of was over with 4 or 5 minutes left, and in large part because of the big shots he hit. And by the way, it's hard to say a great adjustment from Coach Pesic because he didn't have a lot of options. So like he kind of played the guys that were healthy. But I did like that when Micić was starting to be pressured so much, there was a couple possessions where Serbia didn't get going until late in the shot clock, so they didn't get good stuff out of it. You put Yaramaz out there, and it's just another guy that can handle the ball and sort of initiate like that. And it ended up working out beautifully. So I'm with you, though. Here's what's interesting. This tournament, Serbia has now played 4 games in 5 days, 2 sets of back-to-backs. They have a day off, and then they come back on Thursday to wrap up. They'll play Poland, and they'll wrap up group play. Spoiler alert, they're going to be first in their group, in Group D. I think even with a loss, they would end up first in Group D.
Well, they might have to be – well, head-to-head, because Poland's 3-1. So they do – to seal it, they want to beat them.
Obviously. Okay, sure. They're going to have to beat Poland, but they should beat Poland. Don't want to overlook anybody, but Serbia is pretty good.
Of course.
So they should beat them.
Favorite.
After that, though, everything slows down. So then you get a day off. Then you start on Saturday, but it won't be Serbia. I think Serbia will play on Sunday. And so they're basically going to get 2 full days of rest off with playing on the third day. And then there's a couple days off after that before the next round. So they go from playing all these games in a row, which I kind of like. It would have been different if instead of the back-to-backs, you just played every other day all the way through to the final. I kind of like that you put a lot of these games close together, and then when you get to the tournament, teams will be rested and healthy and all of that. So I kind of like how it shakes out. Is there any other big takeaways you had, Harrison, from this game?
You guys hit on it a little bit, but it was so easy for Jokic in the post today. It was comical. It was another game where I'm sitting here laughing. He's the only player that's made me ever do that. But it was so easy. So easy for him in the post today, man. Oh, God.
Some of the post-ups truly were hilarious. Like, there were a couple.
Slow motion, almost.
Well, one, we were joking that Jokic went too slow on one possession. He was so slow, the guy jumps. We've seen this a lot where the defender jumps so early because he's just like, am I supposed to jump yet? And he's like, I know you're about to jump. There, you jumped.
Now yeah, you did it. Yeah, you did it.
It's so funny.
He's like Shaq in the post right now. Just unstoppable.
Yeah. And then when his jumper's going, you know, what else can you do? And by the way, a funny play in the fourth quarter, he gets Madar switched off onto him. And what does he do? Go down to the block? No. He actually cuts. He gets Madar the size mismatch, and instead he cuts and outcuts him and gets a wide open layup off of it. It's just like, it was incredible. I will say, I think this is the first game, including qualifiers and Eurobasket, where Jokic did not get a dunk. I don't think he had a dunk tonight.
Well, he didn't need one.
he was too busy just throwing floaters over people.
He also had that, I forget who he was in the pick and roll with, but he had that like running finger roll down the middle of the lane.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? I think it was first quarter.
It was gorgeous.
The athleticism, guys. The athleticism is astounding right now in the middle of the summer.
You're saying this tongue-in-cheek, but it's actually true.
I'm not. I'm really not.
He's like, I'm trying to contain myself.
He's saying it with a shit-eating grin, but it is true. Like, he honestly, I've been telling people this. He's quicker, spry, more mobile, more agile than I've ever seen him. Yeah. And some of this was arriving last year. Over the last 2 years, some of it was already there, so it's not like he's going from – it's night and day. But it is just a little bit more. It's another degree where I really do feel like he's a little quicker. And more than quick, just nimble. Like he employs the quickness better off of these cuts and what have you. So I'm very impressed with Jokic. And like I said, the part that's most encouraging is, one, they're not going into the post as much as they could, and I think they're saving that for the elimination round. And two – Jokic, this was not we've seen Jokic when he has pedal to the metal, headband game, you know, at the end of the year, the 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds game. We've seen it against the Clippers. We've seen it in the playoffs. This is third gear Jokic. Like he turned it up to third gear in the second half when he needed to. And that's what's so encouraging to me.
I almost wonder, I mean, I don't think it's all this intentional, but just reflecting on how it's worked out, they really played defense against Team Finland for at least three quarters. Like they were tired, they ran it, and for most of these games they've had such a great team thing going on, they really haven't exhausted the Jokic thing. And it almost felt like today they were like, you know what, the fellas could use a break, it's a short rotation, we're just gonna press the Jokic button and we're gonna ride that. But to your point, this is the ultimate insurance, and this is why Serbia is ranked number one. Of course, for as good as they are as a team, as great as the role players are, these teams like Israel, Phil, and Poland, you gotta show up to work. If you don't show up to work, they'll beat you. But the difference for Serbia and other teams is they have Jokic. And when push comes to shove, this guy is going to be able to get it done. And obviously, this is not the bar he measures himself against.
I thought Micic was very good again today as well. His stat line is pretty good. 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Only 5 of 13 shooting, so he didn't shoot well. But again, I feel confident in him in big moments because he really does seem to step up and just kind of have a sense for what the team and what the game needs. So I remain impressed with him. How concerned are you though, Harrison, about the injuries starting to pile up? I know some of these, I think, is it with Marinkovic and Milutinov, it's illness. I don't know if it's the same illness, but you assume they'll come back. Although it also makes you worried. Is that like, the rest of the guys are going to get sick by Thursday or Friday? It's another concern you have.
Interesting. But did somebody eat a full pizza by themselves? Is that what happened? It's concerning. I think, you know, the age factor, like I just talked about, is definitely something to keep in mind. And look, these are the easiest games by far that they're going to have. Poland's probably the best team in the group, you know, and they play them up next.
Yeah.
So it's only going to get tougher.
Do you think Poland's the best team
in the group? Like, for
that's
sure.
That's what I'm saying. They're the best team in the group. I'm not questioning you. Yeah. I'm being serious. Yeah.
I think they are.
I think so. I think so. I mean, Netherlands and Finland were definitely the worst, I think.
But even Finland rocked Poland. And, like, they've had success on this stage. I really think we're underestimating the way the middle of the pack in this tournament is going to, like, you can't just trace the results. They're taking chunks out of each other.
They lost by 40 points to Finland.
That was probably just an off night, I would have
to say. 89 to 59.
That's crazy.
89 to 59.
This tournament is
weird. I mean, I watched Finland. I don't know how they could have done that to another team at this tournament.
Poland's better. I do think maybe it's a bad matchup, but I think Poland's the second best team in the group, in my opinion.
All right. Yeah. Well, then big challenge coming up. I'm glad that they get a day of rest here. And honestly, it would shape up the best for Team Serbia if they do get challenged. But I want to talk about that. Are you concerned at all that Serbia hasn't truly been challenged? Even tonight, I never got nervous. Are you concerned at all for that? And also looking around, we can start to see. We can't fully see who Serbia is going to play in the elimination round. We start to get a little bit of a sense. And I want to talk about all those things on the other side of this break.
Breckenridge Brewery, guys. They've got a birthday coming up, 32 years young. And to celebrate, Breck Brewers throwing a weekend-long hoot nanny kick off the fall with live music, food, beer, of course. And games October 8th and 9th. So this is a little over a month away at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like Spin Doctors and local favorites Railroad Earth rocking out for you. So stay tuned to everything DNVR for more details for Hootenanny giveaways, all of that leading up to October 8th. Check out the link in the description where you can go to breckbrew.com for more details and the official artist lineup, which is right there. At DraftKings Sportsbook, guys, football fans, first Sunday of the NFL season is here. Just in a few days, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers a can't-miss offer to celebrate the return of the NFL season. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. And then as an added bonus for week one, everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early. With their early win promotion, bet on an NFL team to win. If your team leads by 10 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly. Even if your team loses, just get up by 10, you win, you cash out, boom, you're done. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All righty, back here, segment two, DNVR Nuggets podcast. Don't forget, this is not just a live show, although we love when you guys watch us live after the games. These are always great, but it's also a podcast. So tomorrow we'll be doing a show, and if you don't catch it live, you can always catch it on your phone or wherever you get your podcasts as the DNVR Nuggets podcast. So, all right, let's look ahead a little bit and talk about some concerns ahead. So if you look at the seeding for this, Serbia's in Group D. They're going to finish first. I mean, knock on wood, I don't think I'm really jinxing this, but they're going to finish first, most likely. D1 would end up playing the fourth seed in Group C. At the moment, that is looking like Estonia or Italy. Neither one of those teams is very good. To me, the round of 16, so you go from 24 teams down to 16, it becomes basically the Sweet 16. It's just a single elimination tournament. We'll get down to the end. Italy-Estonia, to me, is another game that I'm not saying anybody can be completely overlooked, but it's another tune-up, in my opinion, for Team Serbia. It's another game where it's like, play how you're supposed to play. You're probably going to win by 20 points. So I look at that one, and I think that's sort of a great outcome. Any disagreements?
Little disrespect to my guy Nicolò Melli in Italy. They just beat Croatia, Adam. I'm with you.
Well, then, I see some people saying possibly Croatia as well. Let me see. Croatia's 2-1. Estonia and Italy both 1-3 and 1-2, respectively. So we'll have to wait and see. Croatia would be a crazy one. If you draw Croatia,
yeah. Croatia's the team that I look at, and I'm like, how are they not better?
I've talked a lot to our respective friends across the pond about this, and Croatia is one of the perfect examples of – if you look at this tournament from an NBA perspective, you go, give me that roster. They're really good. But there's a culture and philosophy of basketball to these other nations that Croatia at least doesn't always display or doesn't manifest in their game. Like, they lack chemistry, as I'm told, despite aggregate talent.
Bojan Bogdanovic, Zubats,
right.
Mario Hezonja, Saric. Like,
and also just talent. And also just, I think, a little bit of a rivalry there. You know, you're talking about Serbia-Croatia, so it'll be a little bit more, you know, meaningful. I don't know. You know, we've talked about the supposed curse. The 95 Eurobasket team, when Serbia won, Croatia did not stand on the podium for this, have not medaled, you know, in one of these competitions since. So there's like a history, a backstory, like all of this. To me, that, forget talent, forget the fact that Croatia has lost to some not so good teams in the pool play. That game to me would just have a little bit of extra added oomph. People in the comments can tell me if you agree or disagree. And by the way, I see why I thought it was Estonia, because I forgot that in Eurobasket, you get a point even for losing, 2 points for winning. And Estonia has just played one more game than Italy. So I'm looking at the standings and they're four, but they'll actually end up five or six, almost guaranteed. So it's really Croatia or Italy. Just the way they do the standings is a little confusing there. So it'll be one of those two teams. To me, I kind of hope it's Italy, but we'll see. I don't know. And then after that, you get into the second place A team and the third place B team. If we go, we scroll up right now. The second placed A team, we're looking at Turkey or Montenegro or Spain or Belgium, one of those teams. Turkey and Spain, both very good. I mean, we just saw Serbia play Turkey not too long ago. That was a dogfight. So that one could be really big. And then B is the group of death. I love B. Slovenia beats Germany today. So Slovenia, Germany, and France all tied at 3-3-1. One of those three teams is going to be represented as the B3 in that. That's a heck of a matchup too. So I say all that to say it's hard to follow this, especially in audio form.
Right.
But I think that Serbia is going to have the first game of the 16 be one they should be very heavily favored in. Every other game past that is probably going to be one of the good teams. And you're going to have three straight good games, in my opinion, which is shaping up to be great. That's how it should be.
Turkey is a team that plays with a lot of passion, a lot of just fire, but we did see what Serbia did to Turkey in the friendly a couple weeks ago.
Does it worry you at all, Vogt, just that Serbia would probably play as early as the second round of the elimination the best team that they will have faced so far in this? Do you feel like that's a little early?
I mean, I definitely follow the logic of saying you'd like to ramp up in terms of intensity. But I just think there's a way you got to look at, like, Serbia, in my opinion, is pound for pound the best team at this tournament. It's single elimination. These other teams are often better than given credit for by folk in our position. Like, anything can happen. But I think you got to look at it, like, if you're Serbia, we like our chances in any one game. They might, but in my opinion, there should be no playing of seeding or whatever. If it's Greece next, give us Greece, right? And so on and so forth. I just think they're good enough that whenever they're asked to turn it on, you know, they can do that. So I'm almost down to see them get tested sooner rather than later.
The one nice thing here is that it looks like Greece will almost certainly be on the opposite end of the bracket. A1 and C1 are going to be the two teams that are on the opposite. So the winner of, you know, Spain, Turkey, basically, whoever comes out on top of that one, as well as it looks like Greece is 4-0. They've clinched it. Whoever wins, so those two teams will be on the opposite end, and that's nice. Like, I would love right now, as I look at things, I would love a Greece Serbia final. I think that would be one of the best stories.
If that's on the table, I think that's where we're going to be headed. It just seems right. Like, a rematch of that ridiculous game in Belgrade for Eurobasket, Jokic and Giannis, last four MVPs, man. Like, we've talked about the perfect story. Like, that is included in the perfect story, right?
It really would be, I think. It really would be great. Do you have, like, teams that you're sort of pulling for right now outside of Serbia, Harrison?
I mean, Slovenia is the other team I'm watching most closely just because Vlatko's, of course, playing there. He did not have a good game today, though. Yeah. Probably don't need to spend much time on that. So I guess Slovenia is the other team I'm most tapped into, per se. Am I rooting for anyone else? Hell no. Absolutely not. Come on.
There's rooting, and then there's just, like, I'm impressed with or I'm enjoying. What about you there, Vogt?
Yeah, I like that framing because I'm definitely not rooting for, I'm a sucker for any underdog in any situation, to be honest. Like that is so basically any team who's on the verge of an upset. So, you know, I've enjoyed the Georgia wins, even though those Bosnia wins. Germany's been probably the most fun team other than Serbia for me to watch because I think even though despite the loss today, I like the way they play. I hate watching France. No disrespect to my guy, bro. I also don't think they're good. Like, they're athletic and they can play defense.
You know what it is, though? Here's what's funny, man, is I like Fournier a lot. I'm a big Fournier fan, former Nugget. We could do a whole list of former Nuggets, Jan Vesely, Kostas Papanikolaou. Right. Guys we don't really have an attachment to, but they're former Nuggets, so whatever. But it really just comes down to one guy. It's Gobert. Gobert's so unlovable, and he's like he just becomes the face.
Dude, he's the worst star ever. You ask French, like huge passionate French basketball fans, like, what do you think of Team France? They're like, let's go. You're like, what do you think of Gobert? And they're like, take him or leave him. I don't know. He's there.
I am surprised by Team France, and I guess they're still in it, 3-1. Like they only lost the one, so they still have some work ahead of them. But I'm with you that at this very moment, knock on wood, at this very moment, they have not looked like one of the more impressive teams out there.
The offense is just, I think they, and I don't think that's just they're struggling. I think it's a symptom of the roster. I don't know if they have the half-court offense to keep up with a team like Serbia, for example, who can absolutely defend them on the other end. So
the team that I've kind of become my side piece team through all of this, weirdly enough, has been Germany.
Yeah.
And part of it is just I really like Franz Wagner. Like, I've been very impressed with him. So he's a guy that stood out. I'll tell you some other guys that have stood out to me. Denny Avdija has looked really good. He looked good tonight.
He had
some really good plays. And then Alperen Şengün to me is very impressive. That's part of what I've liked about this tournament is you've seen some of those guys who are on the rise, you know, maybe a little bit young, and you get to see them in an elevated role from what they are in the NBA. And those guys, Franz Wagner, Alperen Şengün, Denny Avdija, they've all impressed me so far in their play.
Did you guys know Avdija is half Serbian?
Is he really? Every player. Ask the chat about every player you like in this tournament. They're like, well, they're
his grandma. His dad is Serbian.
Yeah. Apparently. They're like, not technically Serbian, but you should try the Rakia. Like, very clearly, they just trace. So they're funny. like the Always Sunny meme.
That's so funny, man. Yeah, I'm enjoying it so much so far. What we have a super chat, Kale. We can go ahead and get to that super chat now. I want to see what it was. We have one here coming from J-Rock. He says, Jokic is setting it all up. EuroLeague MVP championship. I like it. EuroBasket, but you know what? We'll let that slide. I made that mistake too before. NBA 3-time MVP and NBA champion. Let's do it. Vote and I are manifesting it. Let's go. Hey, and he puts 555, which I don't know the significance of it, but I'm all for it.
Jeremy, I respect it. I'm just saying, if we're shooting for the moon, throw finals MVP in there as well.
I mean, I think that was implied.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of implied.
Yeah, if they're going to win, he gets it. We all know what's up.
It would be dope. I'm telling you, man, we've talked about it. We've joked about it. But I really do feel like my new brightest timeline does include EuroBasket gold. It's like,
hey, I feel like it has to include it now. We're too deep in it.
We're so deep into it for sure. I was talking with Matt Moore, and I put this out on Twitter. I'm workshopping a take. Actually, I put it out in the chat yesterday while you guys were doing the show. This is, like, for me, at least as good as March Madness. And the reason is a couple-fold. March Madness happens in March. There's NBA games on at the same time March Madness is. That's one knock on it. This one's happening in the dead of the offseason. We haven't had real basketball to watch for months, so it's like extra special. It's like when it rains at the end of the summer or something, you're like, oh, I'm excited about this now. So there's that. There's another factor of the level of play is better than in March Madness. Like, it's funny. I was sitting here thinking, if Team Serbia was in March Madness, they would almost certainly win. Like, single elimination, anything can happen. But they would almost certainly win every game by 20 points. If they played like Kentucky, because they have the best player in the world at the NBA level, as well as a bunch of other guys who have like surpassed the college level of play. So you're looking at a better quality of basketball. You're looking at it coming at a time when, when you don't have any basketball. And then there's just something enjoyable about the stylistic differences of each team and just having this little bit of like, hey, we know the story of the Lithuanians or the Spanish or whatever. And it's just kind of, it makes it a little bit more fun. Where do you guys fall on this comparing March Madness to EuroBasket?
I'm with it. I'm definitely with it because you get that sense of passion from these guys that also shows up in college that you don't get during the NBA most of the time. Like a win for Serbia or a win for Bosnia, a win for these teams at Eurobasket means so much. It also means so much when you're in college. You just get one win at the tournament. Like,
right.
Just the passion in both of those events compared to the NBA regular season is just on, you know, a completely different level, obviously. And it's just every day, too. I joke about how ridiculous 5 games in 7 days is for pool play. Do I love it? Of course I love watching it. Like, I love it. I hate it for these guys, but it's awesome as a viewer.
I also think the argument about college versus basketball is so dumb because no one's defining terms. Like, the level of play is obviously – I mean, the NBA versus college is obviously so different. What right. people are trying to talk about is the same thing we've enjoyed with club-level sports in Serbia and Eurobasket on the international level, which is sports is done best when consumed through a community lens, when you right. feel like you belong, when you totally. give a shit, right?
That's the thing about college. You're right. That people from the outside don't know is it means something a little bit extra to people, especially if they went to that school. It's like, that's me. Yeah.
Precisely. And the NBA, I think, like, people like us are committed to fostering that for folks in Denver. But it, for as much as we all love the game of basketball, the league of the NBA can be very soulless. And there's a soulful nature to this tournament that is reminiscent of March. And you're just waking up every day like I'm setting alarms so I can catch these games early. Like, I'm loving this stuff.
That's been the coolest part, too, is the time difference allows for these games. And I'm so glad that Serbia hasn't played at 5:30 because that's the early slot, 5:30 a.m. Denver time. That would suck. So far, knock on wood, they haven't fallen to that. But it is nice because I get up around 7 o'clock. It's usually my wake-up time with, you know, my kids getting ready for school or whatever. 7 o'clock rolls out. I turn the TV on, and I got a game at halftime. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I'm waking up, but I don't even have to like warm up. I'm already like thrown right into it. Some good game is on, and I get to kind of wake up that way. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts? March Madness versus Eurobasket, Harrison?
What do I enjoy more? Probably March Madness, just because there's more of it. It's just.
Do you think it could change though? Because we're not in the elimination round. So do you think it could change?
Yeah, maybe. I might have a different answer in a week or two when the games get more important, the competition gets better. Like, if there's going to be a Cinderella in Eurobasket, that'd be pretty fun.
Ukraine, they're 3-1.
If Ukraine could be the George Mason of Eurobasket, like that would be pretty crazy.
I think March Madness for me is diminishing returns. I think opening weekend of March Madness is the single best sporting like weekend in the world, personally.
And there is so many games. It is 64 teams, so it's like you never have to wait more than 20 minutes for a game finisher.
If one game sucks, you have like a life-altering upset happening on the other channel. Like, it just keeps going. But from there, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
It's so true.
And this I actually think it's starting at a high level. Of course, the basketball is played at a professional level. But I think the meaningfulness of it is going to escalate. And so I'm really excited to funnel out to that weight of it all.
It is true. March Madness's first 4 days, the first two rounds, are so much fun in large part because the bad games you just ignore. Like, you don't. If you actually had to watch every game, you'd be like, most of these suck. But you don't because there's 4 games on at once and 2 of them are bad. And you're like, all right, ignore those 2. I'm going to watch this one. But to your point, Vote, when Bucknell upsets Kansas in the first round, the second round is Bucknell trying to recreate that magic. And it almost never
happens. Then you're like, that's a lot of floaters, man. You know?
Yeah. I guess they're not going to shoot 60% from 3 this game. Right. So they're just going to lose by 30. Anyway, I like both. I don't want to try. Comparison can be the death of joy, or it can kill joy. I like both of them, but I got to say, part of us, this is us giving the hard sell on Eurobasket because of the experience we had and some of the stories we've been told and hopefully we'll be able to tell here in the coming weeks, months, as the documentary releases about why we feel so connected to it. But it's like when you have something cool and you want to share it with other people, you're just like, no, I'm not just being the guy that went to Europe and had a good time and I'm trying to get you to
know.
It's like, no, this actually slaps. You got to check it out. It's
super dope.
We've talked about on this pod already how we feel like this summer is maybe a jumping off point for Eurobasket, where it's just, it's kind of blowing up a little bit. I still don't get why it seems like people, and I'm not going to name names, but it's a lot of high profile people in our business. It's almost like they're scared to comment or just think it's uncool to comment on Eurobasket. And I don't get it. Like, some of these, you know, high level analysts and reporters, like I said, in our business, it's like, it's okay to watch Eurobasket and comment about how cool it is, but it seems like people are still either just a little afraid or they just don't think it's cool enough. They'd rather comment on the Drew League.
Well, I'm telling you, part of the reason is because a lot of the people, the NBA media specifically has thrived in the non-basketball aspects of the game. Yeah. And so, like, Eurobasket obviously touches none of those. So the people that have climbed to the top, your Nick Wrights of the world, they've gotten to the top talking about things in a very specific way that if you talk about those in Eurobasket, people will just tune you out. So, for example, I was actually wanting to do a segment of this. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow or something where it's like, how would NBA, the Nick Wrights of the world, how would they be breaking down Eurobasket right now and just give all of our dumbest takes?
Like, oh, my God, dude.
Here's one thing I was thinking. There was the big fight. You guys touched on it. Between Turkey and Georgia, which if that happened in the NBA would be the only thing we talked about before, after, and during games. We would just be breaking down the fight and what it means. And, you know, we're going to go live to Ramona Shelburne, who's now outside the courthouse. Like, this, like, we'd be doing all these things. And instead, we're 24 hours removed from it, already gone. Like, the story is already like, hey, we're moving on to the basketball games. Maybe some of that is sweeping it under the rug. They don't
press.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it's just different than the TMZ-ification of the NBA, which would have made that story 1, 2, and 3.
Right. Yeah. I can report, though, that the NBA did send out a little Jokic highlight from the game today. They sent it out with the correct hashtag. They did, man. Hashtag Eurobasket. So we're going up and up.
It's funny, man, because I really did. So if people don't know, they put out the Sombor shuffle that Jokic hit against Giannis in the World Cup qualifying game. They said a flamingo shot or something like
that. No, they said like a one-legged
shot. Like, they don't even know the Sombor shuffle. It's the two best players in the NBA, the two MVPs, they don't even know the Sombor shuffle. And then they called it Eurobasket, not World Cup qualifier. And I quote tweeted it with the pretentious, like, hey, I'm correcting you, you know, this or that. And I wasn't trying to be a dick, but it's like, hey, NBA, you need to get your shit together when you're talking about the two best players in the NBA. You just need to put like the tiniest amount of effort. And they ended up deleting the tweet. It ended up having an impact because they ended up deleting the tweet and then getting it right. I'm not trying to get anybody fired. I'm not trying to do any of that or be the pretentious guy. But I do think that it's important that the official NBA account, which somebody's like, you're getting mad at an intern. Guys, one of the biggest accounts in all of Twitter, that's run by a team of paid people. Like, this is not an intern and they can afford to like study. They got it right. And I tip my hat to them. I'm honestly not trying to like shit on them. You made a mistake and made a correction. Great job. Great job.
I've almost called this EuroLeague 49 times, just to be clear. Like, every time I send a tweet, I'm like, I got the right one, right? And by the way,
3-4 weeks ago, I called it EuroLeague.
Right. And we're feeling passionate about this, you know, not lost on us, or at least me. Like, 2 months ago, I was this guy. Like, oh, it's summer, take a little break, do some other stuff. I wasn't sitting down to dial into Eurobasket. Right. But I wish that I was, because I really – I like the game of basketball more than the league of the NBA lets me believe. Does this make sense? They make it too hard for me to enjoy a game I already decided I like.
We hate the NBA. We love the Nuggets.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So we've all the time.
It's just been so great to watch basketball. And I know we're naive to some of the – like, FIBA as an organization stinks. There's a lot of, like, international tension that, like, we're not going to touch, right? I know it's not all fairy tale, but it's basketball, and I'm loving it.
Let's take a break. On the other side, we got a couple super chats to get to, as well as some notes from around the NBA that are a little bit interesting. We'll talk about them on the other side.
These are our guys, Avoca TV, the greatest, the GOAT in Colorado sports, the present and the future of television. They deliver amped up sports coverage for Colorado fans, featuring Altitude Sports, AT&T Sportsnet, and the NFL Network. Get the most regional content for the lowest price for sports in all of Colorado, all in crystal clear HD. Avoca TV, of course, is also where our documentary from Serbia is going to be premiering. So Get Ivaka TV right now so you can be the first ones to watch it. You can get it for $25 a month, but with the code Colorado10, when you go to Ivaka.tv/Colorado10, you're going to get $10 off per month for your first 3 months. Ivaka.tv/Colorado10, that's where you got to go. Ivaka.tv/Colorado10. No contracts, no catches, no hidden fees. Check out Ivaka TV today. Also, our newest sponsor, Game Time Tickets. I'm so excited to be partnered up with an actual ticketing app. So now I know where to go to get my tickets. I don't have to mess around with all these random sites. I'm not going to shout any out. But now I just go to Game Time Tickets. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought of? 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert. It's now possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats that you thought you could never buy. So for Nuggets tickets, Broncos tickets, you guys can get awesome tickets last minute for cheap with the Game Time app. If you love DNVR, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the YouTube description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events.
Love it. And by the way, another note on this Ivaka read that you did before there, like everybody knows they sponsored our trip to Serbia and made it possible. We're trying to do more and more stuff like that. And then the best way to support us is by supporting our partners and letting them know why you're going. A lot of people have, hey, switched to Ivaka, and they tweet at us, the best thing you can do. Because if we succeed like that, we want to go back to Serbia. We want to go other places. And I love this setup that we're sort of testing out with Ivaka, whereby they sponsor this. They want to see, does it pay off? If it pays off, if people say, yes, we do want to see DNVR go to Serbia and make a documentary out of it, so much so that we're willing to go there, guess what we're going to be doing a lot more of? Those types of things, those types of products, which I'm very excited for. So Shouts to Ivaka TV. They really get us. They really do. All right, we got some super chats coming in. What do we got? Abdia's dad played for Yugoslavia, former Serbia. Abdia is 100% Serb, 50% at least. I love that. I love that you have the chance to edit your thing or write it. He's like, he's 100%, parentheses, 50%. He is Jeremy Grant of Serbia, went with Israel to be the guy. I mean, look, who knows if that's really the
Jeremy reason. Grant.
He really went there. Just
that's to be an the unbelievable call.
It really is an unbelievable comment. Without knowing the full story, I'm going to say probably a little bit of a biased take. But nonetheless, the more important part is that his dad playing for Yugoslavia, that's a really interesting story. I mean, one of the cool things that we learned is just how far the roots expand for Serbian coaches and players and families and this or that from Yugoslavia. So it's pretty cool. It's still a cool detail, even if the takeaway maybe is – not the most trustworthy. What else do we have? J-Rock is back. He said, did Serbia officially give you guys an itch, a.k.a. Vindic, Marešić, Votic, Eric? I love that Eric doesn't even need one.
Just Eric.
Eric.
He's just Eric.
Eric.
Eric. Dev is just Dev, a superstar. You guys deserve your itch. I don't. Would I be Marešić?
We all got Votic our own Serbian. Good. We all got our own Serbian names, but they are different. Like, he's Hari for sure. I'm Hari Bronco. For sure.
You're what?
Bronco.
Why are you Bronco?
I didn't hear this. You're Bronco?
Yeah, I haven't seen this.
You got to ask the Serbians, man. I don't make the rules.
Bronco.
Or Marash. Marash, I guess, would be my one. That sounds a little bit better than Marašić. Marašić doesn't sound right. It's like Pestić. I can't get to it.
To go back to that last comment, though, what I've learned this summer going to Serbia, meeting so many Serbian people, making so many new Serbian friends, everybody's Serbian. We're Serbian. Nikola Jokic is Serbian. We're all Serbian.
There you go. Did you guys see this video that dropped yesterday of Jokic's pregame workout? You guys happen to take a look at this?
Yeah, I saw it.
So it's funny because we've seen Jokic work out before, like in person. He does all these things. But this video, for whatever reason, was extra compelling to me. Because in it, Jokic is shooting right hand, right foot, right hand, left foot, left hand, left foot, left hand, right. Like, he's just going through this workout of all, not all, but mostly like 7 to 11 footers. And I loved it for a bunch of different reasons. One is, those are the shots he's so good at. And we always wonder, how is he so good? Well, he's taking left-handed floaters down the lane. he's practicing them so smooth. But also, I've mentioned this before, I think maybe months back. In the U.S., in basketball culture in the U.S., we have a rule. If you shoot in warmups in a group, you're getting ready for a game, and you shoot too close to the basket, you don't get the shoot again. You have to shoot from a certain distance. Guess what this does? I've never seen anybody warm up on seven-footers. I'm not joking about this. Right. I've never seen it. And it was something cool to see Jokic, a professional player. Even in the NBA, you see guys take 15-footers, jump
three-pointers.
Three-pointers, mid-range, and right at the rim. I just love that Jokic is like, you know this zone that people just concede to you? I'm going to become the best ever at that.
I swear to God, this is not a knock on Mason Plumlee. He's had a hell of a career. He's carved out a great niche for himself in the league, was a great Denver Nugget. I watched him warm up before most games that he played for the Nuggets. I'm not kidding you. A part of his warm-up for every single game was going around the arc and shooting probably 20 threes from every different spot around the three-point arc. And I'm sitting there like, what the hell are you doing, man? Right. Like, what are Sticking you doing? Around. Take a jumper from the elbow. Like, come on. Take a shot that you're actually going to think about taking in a game. And you're right. Jokic is really one of the few NBA players who every shot that he takes in a warm-up is a game shot.
Yeah, and that's the thing about those little off-footers, off-handers, right? Like, those are the shots Jokic takes all game long. He gets positioned down low, and he scores. But he just fills in the gaps. You go left, he goes right. If you're going too fast, he goes too slow. But he has touch from every angle. And it's to the point where if he puts one up within 7 feet and it looks off, you're just like, oh, he was fouled. Like someone fouled him, whether they call it or not. Because he's not missing.
He almost always is, too, whenever he misses one. Although he had a bad miss today. Do you guys remember the? He had a miss I've never seen. He only missed two shots. One of them way the heck off. I don't know what happened. He probably was.
If a Jokic shot bounces hard off the rim, you're like, wait, what? Did it slip? Like, did he get fouled? What happened?
What happened? Luka Doncic was asked what other teams he's watching in Eurobasket right now. And he said, Greece and Serbia. And then when asked why, he said, you guys know why. I love the answer. I love the answer. Did you see this vote?
Yeah. And with the little cheeky smile, Luka's great. Oh,
shit eating grin, not even cheeky. It just went full shit eating grin.
Luka's great. I think as Yoke guys, we really do have to be Luka guys on non head to head nights, of course.
Well, he's Serbian vote, as you know.
That's I mean, of course we love him. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm told he's not only consent, but culturally, he's really Serbian. I don't know him, but he does seem to be an ally of our allies, which makes him an ally to me, unless he's an enemy.
I'm just waiting for Serbia and Slovenia and Jok and Luka to get to Berlin and just have some incredible dinners there. I want to hear some stories from that.
Yeah.
It is funny, though. I have had a lot because I'm talking to a bunch of the reporters and stuff that I met out there, and I'm like, man, Slovenia lost to Bosnia? Like, what happened? I didn't see the game. They're like, oh, they were out partying too late. I don't know if this is true or not, or if that's just the default thing, but it does seem like it's always the excuse whenever one of these teams plays poorly.
But they just say it so casually. It's like, oh, yeah, they were out late last night. Yeah,
maybe that's – hey, look, in the NBA, if you see James Harden put up a total dud in Atlanta, you know that's what happened. Like, of course, he wasn't well rested. So maybe it's also known here that that's just how it's going. I loved his answer. I thought it's cool. I just love this coalition between Luka, Jokic, and Giannis. I just love it. And I really hope that they dominate the NBA for the next decade. And everybody, like I said, is forced to eat their vegetables.
Yeah.
I saw a comment here. Where did it go? Oh, right here from J-Rock. He says, man, I would love to see Malone and Murray at title game in Jokic shirts.
Yep.
On the table.
On the table.
It needs to happen if they get there.
We've seen, like, I think Cuban was out watching Luka play. You know, we've had some different, like, coaches, you know, out there. I'm going to go as far as to say I really want to see it. Like, this is – I'm not going to call it a must.
I might call it a must, man.
Wow.
Like, go for it.
I think Michael Malone has to be there at the gold medal game. I think he
if they're in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he has to be there, and I think he will be there.
Yeah. What do you think, Vote? Are we going to see a Nuggets player and or a Nuggets coach? I will say this. I know members of the front office are there right now. So some members of the front office, part of that is they're scouting.
Like, also, like, they're for, like, Marty's Lithuanian. Like, he's definitely there.
And Tommy.
And Tommy. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah they're definitely there.
I love this. The NBA should be forced to eat their Shapska.
So, yeah. I would say odds to be there. Malone's a favorite. I would say Murray is your next guy.
Well, I was going to say, what players do we most want to see there? Obviously, well, here's Jamal is probably one.
Oh, power rank the Nuggets players you most want to see? I disagree.
We learned this. Here's
Aaron Gordon.
Aaron Gordon. Yes. Aaron Gordon. And Serbia wants to see it.
I mean, Aaron Gordon's a third Serbian, I heard. So
then, what if he somehow plays for them in next year's World
Cup? I'm saying, dude, if D-Bost can play for Bulgaria, like at a certain point, like Serbia claims Aaron Gordon as much as we do. In fact, we kind of made fun of him. Serbia loves him. Let him play for Team Serbia. Yeah.
Let him play, man. Get a little bit of – I honestly was thinking about this idea of Jokic playing for Serbia for the next several years. And if you got Bogdanović somehow in Denver, just the chemistry you would get for both Denver and Serbia would be off the charts. It would be incredible. You'd be building a chemistry in both levels that I would love. Bones would be great.
Zeke Nagy, probably a bit of a dark horse.
I don't think he's going to make it out there. Bones would be great. Aaron Gordon would be great. Jamal Murray would be great. Michael Porter, what do you think it would be like if Michael Porter flies out there and is seen courtside?
It would be so shocking that, it'd be awesome. It'd be awesome, but I'd be pretty shocked.
I'd be pretty shocked as well. Maybe Bruce Brown gets out there. KCP, I don't know. We'll see.
There's good golf in Belgrade for Bruce Brown, I heard.
The last thing I have for you guys from today, Montrezl Harrell is joining the Philadelphia 76ers, and I think it's perfect. The Lakers and 76ers, two teams I don't like at all. One I hate. The other one I only strongly dislike. They keep loading up on players I don't like. Montrezl Harrell's one of my least favorite players in the NBA. I love that he's in Philly.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this move for Philly. I absolutely love it. Montrezl Harrell, look, he sucks in the playoffs. We know that. He's a good regular season player, though.
Oh, wait. He's a Doc Rivers guy, isn't he? I forgot about this.
He's a Doc Rivers and a Daryl Morey guy.
Philly just took all of the worst parts from the old Clippers team without the cool parts.
Philly is quickly turning into the most soulless team in the NBA. I mean, it's Brooklyn
so soulless.
Forever. Kidding? It's Brooklyn forever, but Philly is right there on its heels.
Daryl Morey is kind of a soulless GM, I mean, in my opinion. I mean, he's a bit of a soulless one, so it follows him wherever he goes. But, God, I'm telling you, this made me – I loved when I saw it. I was like, oh, yes, now I know. In game 6 of the NBA Finals, when Embiid fouls out, Montrez is going to be the reason Jokic goes for 50. I can't wait. It's all setting up so perfectly. Yeah.
It did make me a little worried because, look, Harrell – he's fine in the regular season. He can play 20, 25 minutes off the bench, more if you need him to on some nights. He can eat innings in the regular season.
Yeah.
A Nuggets 76ers matchup, a little worried about the Nuggets backup center going up against Montrezl Harrell, though.
Alternatively, feeling good about Jokic going up against Montrezl Harrell.
I'm feeling very good about that as well. Any other final thoughts from today, guys, in Eurobasket or from the NBA?
I am excited for this Poland game. It'll be interesting. I don't know if Serbia is going to get into gamesmanship. I don't know if that's their MO here with the seeding. I know teams in this tournament are doing it more than maybe we were initially aware of. But if they both go head-to-head and both go all out, I'm really looking forward to this Poland game. Poland's played well. One less test for Serbia. And if they can get back to that operating at all, you know, all cylinders level, not just the Jokic thing, I'm going to feel very good heading into the next round.
Predicting a big bounce back game from my guy, Yarmaz. He's going to come up huge.
He was good in this one in the fourth. What do you mean bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, he shot 3 of 11. But
the fourth, though. He was big in the fourth.
Yeah, he was the big one I counted. Yeah.
The only note I have to get us out of here on is the first day of Denver Nuggets training camp is exactly 3 weeks from today. And I don't think people quite fully realize how crazy that is. We have another week and a half, 2 weeks left of Eurobasket. And 3 weeks from today, we're going to be covering Denver Nuggets training camp. So Things happening really, really quickly.
This no wonder Jokic. It's always so tired looking, man. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I do hate that he's going to get like 1 week off to, you know, from this to go do whatever, and then probably will end up sitting out training camp, which is a little bit of a bummer, but whatever.
How dare you say that about Yarmaz Osoblanco?
But is that necessarily wrong?
He's definitely
he's an NBA player. Vote. What are you talking
he's
about?
He's in between. He's an up. He's an on or off guy, man. We're gonna see both versions of him.
Yeah. All right, guys. That does it for today's edition of the DMVR Nuggets podcast. We will be back again all week. We'll have to take one day off. I don't think it'll be tomorrow. We'll probably end up taking Friday off, but we will be back all week and then back again over the weekend, covering this as it gets to the elimination round. Don't forget to hit that like on the way out. Leave us a rating review on Apple Podcasts if you have a chance and you're enjoying the show. Leave us a nice review there, 5 stars only, and we'll see everybody next time.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.